What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Giants Nation podcast. I'm your host, Justin Roman. And guys, I hope everyone is having a wonderful Saturday afternoon. I hope everyone is having a safe day. Obviously, we've been hearing all the news and the noise about gun violence. So I hope everyone has a safe day and be careful, please. But guys, I hope everyone's having a wonderful day. It's pretty sunny outside today. It's gonna suck though tomorrow because looks like it's gonna rain tomorrow. My weather forecast. I got a weather forecast update that it's gonna be 73 degrees tomorrow, but it is gonna rain. Damn it! But you know that's how the summer is. You're gonna expect a lot of rainy days. But anyways, guys. We are less than what? We're less than 2 weeks away from the start of the NFL preseason. I cannot wait. Don't forget, guys, August 3rd will be the first ever preseason game at Canton, Ohio, in the Hall of Fame game. We're going to have the New York Jets facing the Cleveland Browns. So, just letting you guys know that. But, guys, I came on here today just because I wanted to do my mailbag. Now, a lot of you guys were asking me questions. About training camp, and some of them have to do with Kayvon Thibodeau and more. So, let's get into this mailbag. And yeah, all right, guys. Another summer Saturday. Another Big Blue Blue mailbag. Let's answer some New York Giants questions. First question is coming from David K. David, you're asking, I saw that rookies will be reporting to training camp on July 16th, 10th, which is 10 days before the veterans do. Do you know what activities will be permitted during this 10-day period? Will you have access to these activities and be able to report them? Well, David, first let's clarify the dates. All the rookies for the New York Giants are going to be reporting on July 18th, and veterans report on July 25th. So it's actually a 7-day period. Media will not have, media will have access to the rookies only a portion of camp. I won't have access until July 26th, the first day of full team activities, once they do give out reports. As for what happens during the rookie phase, my understanding is that it's mostly conditioning and playbook install, probably at a walkthrough pace. The first 5 days of actual training camp with veterans is an acclimation phase where pads won't be worn. So what the rookies do prior to that won't be any more difficult than that. If you recall, Ellerson Smith suffered a hamstring during the portion of camp in 2021 and missed half the season. So it is possible for something to go awry. That's all I gotta say, but appreciate the question. Our next question came from Brian Walsh. Brian, you're asking, when Kayvon Thibodeau got in the field and after his injury last season, he seemed to have a high motor and was disruptive. His play didn't always make the stat line, but did impact the play. To me, it seemed he was everywhere on the field. Do you think he has the potential to be the next in a long line of great Giants pass rushers? Does his lack of sacks concern you, or will they come if he keeps being disruptive? Well, Brian, first of all, great question. And second of all, look, no, I'm not concerned about Kayvon Thibodeau's rookie sack numbers. He sustained a preseason injury that slowed him down, and he was a rookie adjusting to the NFL. look at this kid got better as a rookie. Look at this. This kid got better as his rookie season went along, you know, which is what you want. You know, he had 10, I believe he had 10 of his 13 quarterback hits in the final six games of last season, along with two of his four sacks. He had 26 of 45 total pressures in his final eight games, including the Giants' two playoff games. Kayvon Thibodeau, he admitted this spring that there was a learning curve, perhaps more of one than he had anticipated. Kayvon Thibodeau, he was saying something that was very understandable. He was saying, when you haven't played against NFL caliber guys, you don't really know how big, how strong you need to be, how fast you need to be. Once you kind of get that down and you start to really learn the ins and outs of the games, which is what I started to do at the end of the season last year, going into this year, it becomes a lot easier. And then he continued on saying, now I can focus on the offense and not so much focus on myself, but figure out the different tips and tricks I can give going into training camp. Look at Kayvon. Kayvon Thibodeau, he added that what I started to learn was more of the application of my strengths. Start to figure out how to use my leverage and use the things I have to my advantage. Defensive coordinator Wink Martindale is a huge believer in this kid. Wink Martindale is saying he has no ceiling. Then Wink Martindale continued on saying, I believe that. He can do whatever he puts his mind to. Here's what I'll say. I think Kayvon Thibodeau will be more impactful in 2023 than he was as a rookie. Now if you're going to ask me how many sacks will he get, I don't know. I think that if you are expecting double-digit sack numbers from Kayvon Thibodeau on an annual basis, you might be disappointed. But that doesn't mean there won't be years, he reaches that total. I think he's going to be a force for years to come, That's all I got to say. But appreciate the question. The next question came from Ted Willard. Ted, you're asking, as a Giant fan, I am obviously happy with the number of Super Bowls the team has won. That being said, the more that I watch coverage of the NFL and comments on bulletin boards, the more I wonder either there's too much preoccupation with winning the Super Bowl. It seems like more and more everyone considers a team failure unless they win the big game. As a longtime observer of the sport, I am wondering either you agree that this has become a greater focus over time, and either you think it's a healthy perspective. Is it better to win a Super Bowl and then have a losing record for 5 to 10 years, or would it be better to have a year after year of winning records and play off appearances but not being able to bring the Lombardi Trophy home? Well, Ted, first of all, appreciate the question. This is a good one. Ted, here's what I would say. I don't think there is a right or wrong answer to this question. I think that what makes you happy as a fan is your own personal preference. And no one should tell you that. No one should tell you that it's right or wrong. Personally, I do believe that you can have a successful season without winning a Super Bowl. As a Yankees fan, I was brainwashed with, even though I was just a kid growing up in upstate New York, I was brainwashed with the win, the World Series, or the season is a bust. A philosophy that many Yankees fans still cling to despite base. Still cling on to despite baseball having changed drastically in the last 20 years. Let's use the 2022 New York Giants as an example. I'm sure there are some who will think otherwise. But I don't know how you look at what the Giants accomplished last season and see the season as anything but a success. It was, you know, it was the team, you know, this last season was literally one of the best years the New York Giants have ever had since 2016. And a lot of things happened that should bode well for the future. You know, now if you're going to ask me, is it better to compete every year or win a Super Bowl and then be bad for a decade? Well, look it. The Giants are, again, the perfect example. They won four Super Bowls, and only four teams have won more. Yet, since the mid-1960s, the Giants have had three long periods of mediocrity, or worse. Those awful stretches are not easy to endure. Yet, I think a lot of fan bases would take the four titles and not worry about the rest of it. From my perspective, those lean stretches make it even sweeter when everything does fall into place. So that's what I would say. So appreciate the question. Next question came from Matthew A. Matthew, you're asking, I'm sure this has been answered before, but I'm trying to wrap my brain around why there is a 53-man roster when only 46 can be active. Why can't all 53 be active? Have the owners ever tried to get this changed during the offseason? Well, Matthew, I get the frustration with this rule. And thanks for the question. I get the frustration with this rule. I have thought the same thing myself, especially since those players that are injured still get their game checks. That means you are paying players not to play. You know, that's basically what it means. Yet, I also understand why any owner can only have 46 healthy players each week. 48 if they have practice squad elevations. You know, it's a competitive balance thing. We all know that each week there are likely to be players on an active roster who cannot or should not play. What the NFL doesn't want is one team showing up with 55 healthy players and its opponents to have, let's say, 49 or 50 players healthy, you know, on a given week. That would put the team with fewer available players at a tremendous disadvantage, limiting the active roster levels, the playing field, you know. Now, because I said I understand, it doesn't mean I like it. Look at now, because I said I understand, it doesn't mean I like it. I would honestly prefer to see each team dress 53 or 55 players with standard elevations each week. I think it would make the game better, leaving teams with more, you know, I can't pronounce the word. I would say maneuverability. Something like that, when in-game injuries occur. I would like to see a baseball style, you know, I would like to see a baseball style, injury reserve, maybe with two week, 4 week, 6 week, and 8 week designations. Each player on the injured list could be, let's say, replaced for that time period by a player from the practice squad or a street free agent. Practice squad players could then be returned to that group without having to pass through waivers. You know, so that's what I would say. But interesting question. Another question came from CT Scan. CT, you're asking, with the numbers game at wide receiver and Bryce Ford Wheaton status as an upside project, it's hard to see a place for him on the roster. Given his acknowledged potential, it's equally hard to imagine him passing through waivers and making it to the practice squad. With that in mind, is there a case to be made that we just make him our kick or punt returner and get him on the roster that way? If the guy can catch the ball or run forward a few yards and not fumble, why do I need Gary Brightwell, who essentially caught the ball, stumbled forward a few yards, and didn't fumble? BFW, Bryceford Wheaton is a professional catcher of the ball, so that should be okay. And he's fast as lightning. How much worse than Brightwell could he be? This brings me to a broader question. Given the rule changes, how valuable is your average punt or kick returner? Obviously, someone like Devin Hester was valuable, but how many of those guys are there? Does your typical returner add enough value to justify a roster spot? Well, CT, first of all, I appreciate the question. And second of all, I got an answer. I love Bryceford Wheaton. You know, I mentioned this guy in my mock draft. You know, if it wasn't Jalin Hyatt or any of the other receivers I named, I would definitely love this guy to be on the active roster. You know, when it comes to this kid out of West Virginia, I wouldn't be sure that the Giants would not be able to get him through waivers. Remember, if a team claims him on waivers, they must put him on their 53-man roster. If the Giants, who went all out to get him as an undrafted free agent, I honestly don't see him as roster worthy. If you're going to ask me if the Giants, who went all out to get him as an undrafted free agent, don't see him as roster worthy, what makes you certain that another team or teams will? Well, as for returning, that is not something this kid does. He has ever done. Returning is not easy. You know, there is a lot going, especially returning punts. You have to locate the ball. You have to be able to catch kicks. You know, we'll all sorts of weird spin and do that in traffic. You have to have the guts to take some big hits. You have to be able to make defenders miss. Having watched practices in this spring, I can tell you this. I can tell you that Bryceford Wheaton is not being looked as he's not being looked at as an option in the return game. I am not enamored with Gary Brightwell as a kickoff returner, considering the continued the emphasis on the kickoff, though. I'm not spending time obsessing about who has that job. It would be a bummer if Bryceford Wheaton were lost via waivers. Seriously, though, I think fans are going overboard worrying about it. I mean, there are 33 wide receivers drafted, and this guy was not one of them, which hurts. I like this kid, you know? I hope he makes it to the main roster, because I want to see what he brings to the offense. You never know. Maybe he could be a dark horse piece to this offense. You never know. I mean, it's been a while. Like, can anyone tell me the last time whenever the Giants had two tall receivers? You have Jalin Hyatt, who stands at 6'3", 6'4". This dude, he plays basketball. You got a man who plays football who also plays basketball. Like, that's crazy. I mean, I don't think there's an, I can't name it. Like, is there any other player besides Calvin Benjamin who played basketball who was in the NFL? Like, I would not mind this guy playing on this Giants roster, because I feel like he can add some potential to this offense. You know, that's what I'm saying. Now look it. If he was that good or that highly thought of around the league, that would not be the case. As for now, here's what I would say. As for the value of a punt or kickoff returner, the reality is that those guys have to be able to do something else for your team. You know, Bryce Ford Wheaton doesn't have to be a starter, but he has to have some value on offense or possibly defense. Now that's how I would say, you know. And look, I'm not trying to go against this kid. You know, I really like him. And I was really shocked that no one wanted him. I was shocked when he was a free agent. And when I heard the Giants signed him as an undrafted player, I was like, oh my God. Like, I never, like, you know, so I hope he makes it to the main roster, you know, because I really feel like I feel like either it's with the Giants or any other team, he could be from the AFC or the NFC, I feel like this kid can add potential to an offense. That's all I'm saying. But we'll see. I appreciate the question. Next question came from David Silver. David, you're asking, I was wondering if you can take us back to training camp in 2007 before the Giants would go on to win the Super Bowl. I remember before 2007, Tom Coughlin was told by management to cool his temper, and Eli had been criticized for his body language, and Tiki and Michael Strahan hated each other. What was the vibe of the team as they got together for the 2007 training camp compared to now? Well, first of all, David, appreciate the question. Second of all, here's what I would say. The 2007 training camp in Albany. I can't, however, give you any real insight. I can't remember, you know, because I was growing up, as a kid. The brutal truth is I have no idea what was really going on or how to really understand, the game. I never knew football around this time. What I can tell you, I did saw clips and highlights. What I can tell you is that training camp in Albany wasn't, you know, it was awesome. You know, the limited training camp access offered now in East Rutherford is the opposite of fan friendly. It's pretty awful, but that's all I'll say. But I appreciate the question. Next question came from Colner Big Blue. Hopefully I said your name right. Colner, you're asking, Justin, can you be specific on the franchise deadline? I understand that a multi-year deal cannot be signed after the deadline. Specifically, any deal longer than 1 year. I do not consider a two-year deal being long-term. So here are my questions. Can the two parties agree to a one-year deal that has terms and conditions that do not match the CBA rules for the tag? Can the two parties agree to sign and trade? If so, can the other team renegotiate the deal with Barkley? Do we have any information about the terms and conditions beyond the rumor AAV of a potential deal, which is a BS number with loaded back in money? Have you heard about any level of guaranteed money in the Giants' proposal to Barkley? Maybe I missed some information on the contract, T's and C's. I don't claim to have a perfect information. Caller, here's what I'll say. Here's what I know. Yes, after the July 17th deadline, the two sides can come on a one-year deal that is, you know, that is different than the franchise tag total. Now, if you're going to ask me why would a team, though, do that, well, look at it. They negotiated with Saquon for months, and Saquon has no, he said no to their offers. You know, the Giants, look at it. Here's what I would say, you know, because I've been talking about this for months. The Giants have the hammer. You know, the Saquon, either he plays for a tag amount or he doesn't. The Giants aren't going to give him more than they're not going to give him more money than the tag, more money than the tag amount, thus costing themselves even more cap space. The only exception would be if Saquon sits out until sometime into the season. At that point, you know, the front office for the New York Giants and Saquon Barkley's representatives, they might work out some type of prorated deal that is less than the tag value. So again, the Giants, you know, they still have the hammer. That's my first answer. My second answer, yes. Sign and trade has happened many times. You know, here are a few. If you want to go check it up, if you want to look it up, you could just, I think you could just go to NFL.com. I think they'll talk about it. The acquiring team can renegotiate a contract with the player. If, however, the sign and trade comes after the July 17th deadline for a long-term deal, the player can only sign a one-year deal. My last answer, look it. What I'm about to say is something I've been saying, and I'm pretty sure a lot of you guys have been saying. Look at, no one knows anymore about the potential terms of Saquon's deal than we did a few weeks ago. You know, that's all I gotta say. But appreciate the question. And yeah, guys, those are all of my questions for the Big Blue View, mailbag. I appreciate all the questions. So yeah, guys, that's all I have for you today. Like I said before, I appreciate the questions. I'll keep you guys updated for more news about the New York Giants or more lists, you know, I'll keep you guys updated for more news about the New York Giants or more lists if I have any for you guys. So stay tuned for both of those things. But until then, guys, I am out. Peace.